I want to welcome all of you, especially those of you that are special guests today, not typically here on Sunday morning. We're so glad you're here. It's a very unique service for us, a special time to celebrate what God has been doing. And that's what we intend to do here in our time. What I want to do is just make a few comments about what God is doing in our midst and specifically in relation to the building. And as I was thinking about what I should share, what I might say today, I wanted to include someone else who has been along for the journey, been here longer than myself. I was commenting to Teresa on our way to church this morning. I said, you know, it occurred to me 2 days ago that today, this Sunday, marks exactly 5 years since I came here to this church. So 5 years ago today, it was the first Sunday that I was here. So just God's timing, the way it worked out. But many of you have been here long, long time. And some not so long. Some have come since I've been here. We're coming at different times. But what I want to do today is have someone come and share. Jeff Schreffel, come on down, Jeff. Jeff is going to share. Jeff has an interesting journey here at the church. And he was very much involved as our building committee chairman. So he has some interesting insights about the journey in recent years. So Jeff, thanks for coming.
So I was really thankful that Pastor asked me to speak today because this church means a ton to me and to our family. This room in particular is really special for me. I was saved back in this back corner 18 years ago, almost 18 years to the day. But it wasn't the room, it wasn't the roof, it wasn't the pews. It was the people in the church. It was God's presence in the church that I was saved. It was thanks to Joanne Petrillo and Bob Keener and Jack Williams in that Bible study that I was saved here, again, back in that back corner. So throughout all my time here, I've been so thankful for how much love there is and family there is in this church. Throughout this process, over multiple years while we got to this phase 1A, there was a lot of work, there was a lot of votes, there was a lot of talk and questions and feedback, and the love and support from this church has been incredible and so encouraging. When we presented phase 1A, we didn't know how it would go over. We were nervous because it was a change from what we'd been talking about. It allowed us to do something immediate, something that would have an impact on God's church here, and we had no idea how the church would be, how that plan would be received. The support was overwhelming. It was nearly unanimous, and we really couldn't believe it. And then despite the pain that we've been through in the fellowship hall, again, throughout the entire process, the church came, the church dealt with the fellowship hall, and it's just been amazing to be a part of it. And I just felt so blessed that God's let me be a part of that. For me, it feels like now that we're at the end of this phase, it feels like a fresh start again. It feels like our mission here in Upper St. Clair has just begun anew. It's really been, for me personally, a refreshing feeling being back down here, seeing people using the standing tables in the back, seeing people hang out in the open space, and really enjoying the new space so far. But it's not about the building. It's about the community. It's about whether or not we can reach God's people here, whether we can reach the lost, whether we can bring them in to a loving family like our own. We've been in this church for 20 years. We'll be here for 20 more. And I feel like for the first time that we can leave it better than we found it. That when we leave this church, we'll leave it improved from when we left. And families have been doing that here for generations. So we're going to keep doing it for more generations. And this is just the start. So with that, I just ask if you'd pray with me real quick before I close. Lord, this is your house. These are your walls. Fill this place with your love for all eternity so that this place can be a refuge for those who need you until you return. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah, Jeff is absolutely right that we're not about a building. That's not really what it's about. God doesn't dwell in buildings. And God is interested in buildings only as a means to the end, right? I mean, what is God interested in? God is interested in people. People. So why did we do this then? if it's not about buildings? Why do we spend the money? Why do we make the changes? Why are we looking toward the future of additional space? Why are we doing that if it's not about a building? It's about people. Well, it's because the building helps us reach people. And we've been talking about that for several years. I just remind you, Andy Stanley, pastor, author, he said, people intuitively feel their setting and make judgments about it, even subconsciously. And you know that's true. When you walk in a restaurant, you look, the tablecloths, the lighting, everything makes a difference in setting the scene, the stage. There's a big difference between white linen and picnic tables. And the same is true when we come into a space that is dedicated to the service of God, where we're calling people to come and meet him. Particularly when we're in a setting such as we are here in Upper St. Clair. So while it's not about the building, the ministry is not really about that. The building is important. It's an important part of the ministry. That's why we invest so much time and resources into it, so that it will become, as we've said over and over, like that farm harvesting harvester, so that it's sharp and ready to go to bring the harvest in. And we know buildings matter to God in that way simply by looking in the scriptures. We have to look no further than the temple. Just think back to those very elaborate instructions that were given to Solomon for the building of that place where God would dwell at that time. Amazing detail, phenomenal structure. God was concerned about every detail of that structure. And of course, now, since Jesus has come, we know God doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in people, right? And Paul talks about that in the New Testament. He talks to the Christian, to the church. He said, you are the temple. Don't you know that your body is actually the temple of God? His Holy Spirit lives in you. And so that's what we want to understand today. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Haggai in this time when the people of Israel had been sent away. They had gone into exile and the temple was destroyed. Their homes were destroyed. And now many years later, they're coming back. Maybe 42,000 people. And they come back and they're discouraged, profoundly despondent at what they find. And they were hopeful in returning and they began to focus on the rebuilding of the temple. And then opposition came and they had to stop. They stopped. And they're trying to make sense of the chaos of their world. And God sends a prophet, someone to speak to them and to remind them of their priorities and to have their eyes return to God and gaze upon him and his glory. And the prophet helps him understand that there's a connection between the condition of the building and the condition of their hearts. They need to address the building in order to help redirect their hearts to God. And this is what the prophet Haggai said to them. In Haggai 1, verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be rebuilt. And they're saying, basically, it's just not convenient right now for us. And they were busy with their own homes and rebuilding them, remodeling them, and clearing the fields again and preparing them, and getting their farms ready. And it was not convenient. And even though when they first returned 18 years earlier, they were focused on the temple, now that had long passed, and they had drifted and grown cold, now they're just consumed with their own lives and their own houses. And the house of God remains in disrepair. And so Haggai comes and speaks on behalf of God. And he said this to them, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord remains a ruin? He wants them to focus on that in order to get at their heart. And that's why he says something very important I want you to take with you today. He said, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. I think essentially what he's saying is, if you'll stop and think for a moment and you'll take time to connect the dots, you realize that God is trying to get your attention. Your hearts have grown cold. You become self-centered. And now you wonder why things aren't going so well for you. Why your crops aren't quite what you think they should be. Why life continues to be a struggle. I want to get your attention. I want you to focus on me. And I think the place for that to begin is in rebuilding the temple. And that's what he asked them to do. This is what the Lord Almighty says, and he repeats it. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Okay, just stop, connect the dots of what's going on, and get back to what's most important, me rebuilding my house. And that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And I want to challenge you today to consider your ways and think about what you're building. Because again, what Paul said when he talked about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, he said, each one should be careful how he builds. My friend, there's a foundation that has been provided for you to build upon. It's the foundation of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And you can put your trust in him. You can know him personally. And you can have a foundation for your life in these crazy times. Oh, the Israelites, they were in turmoil. Their lives have been flipped upside down. And my friends, don't we feel the same way? In so many ways. I look back in the last 10 or 20 years and I think, how did we end up where we are? As a nation, as people, with the values. Everything's upside down. And people are frantically trying to find something to build their lives upon. Something solid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And then we're told to be careful how we build. And there are different things you can invest your life in, your time in, your energy, this brief time you have here. And in Corinthians, Paul describes those different building materials. Wood, hay and straw, those things that would be burned up come judgment day. They're of no eternal value. And so many of us, if we're not careful, if we don't give careful thought to our ways, if we don't be careful how we build, we'll end up building something that doesn't matter, that doesn't last when we cross into eternity. And that's why we're told to be careful to build with gold and silver and precious stones and to invest our lives in people. In expanding the kingdom of God. And that's what I challenge you, my friends, to do. To build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And to be careful how you build. Well, the Israelites, they, as I mentioned, took heed to the word of God. In fact, Haggai is one of the few prophets that his message was received. And the people actually obeyed what he said to do. And they did it. They rebuilt the temple and they rededicated it. Actually, in this short book, one of the minor prophets, he dates each of his prophecies, four of them given in that book. And we know the exact date, December 18, 520 BC, appears to be the day they rededicated that temple. They dedicated it long before. Now, after its destruction and rebuilding, they're rededicating it. And that's why we've chosen to do this today. Well, not that the building was destroyed, but it needed some attention. And not that it hadn't been dedicated before, it had. But we're coming to a new day, and we want to again lay ourselves before God and say, God, we want to be careful with how we're building. We want to pay careful attention to what we're doing. And we know that the condition of the building is, in a sense, a reflection of our own priorities, our spiritual priorities. And so we're saying this matters. Because people matter and because your glory matters. And we want this to be a place where you will be glorified and honored. And where people will meet you. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to read two passages in just a moment. Bob Mitchell is going to come and he's going to read from 1 Kings 8. part of the prayer of dedication at the first temple. And Bob has been in the church many, many years. Bob was involved in the building committee last time the sanctuary was renovated 30 years ago. And so it's fitting, Bob's going to come and read that passage. And then after that, Titus Walker's going to come, and he's going to read from Haggai 1, this passage that talks about their recommitment to rebuilding the wall. And following that, we're going to take some time to dedicate, rededicate this building to God. And we're pleased to have someone from our district office today, Reverend David Lawford and his wife, Marilyn. Glad to have them here today with us, and he's going to come and lead us in that. And then after that time of dedication, we have a presentation that we'd like to give you, kind of looking back and then looking forward. And this is all going to come back around when we're done with the dedication, because it's not about the building, it's not about the past, it's about people, it's about the glory of God, and it's about the future. That's what the day is, it's about the future. So Bob, would you come, and let's give attention to these readings of God's word, and then to the dedication of this house.
I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 29. It's 1 Kings 8, 22 through 29. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, My name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place.
Thus, this reading is from Haggai chapter 1, verse 7 through 15. This is what the Lord of the heaven's army says. Look at what is happening to you. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought the harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. While all of you were busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold their dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all of your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of the heaven's armies, on September 21st, on the second year of Darius's reign.
20 years ago, I stood here in this sanctuary as a missionary speaker that you had supported. My wife and I had served in Israel for many years. I don't know how many are here that maybe were here at that time, but I'd love to greet you if so. But it's my pleasure to be here this morning on this occasion, representing the district office. We just send our blessings and greetings to you, and we just celebrate with you as you are rededicating these facilities unto the Lord. So I just ask you to join me in prayer. Lord of heaven, we rededicate this earthly house to your honor and to your glory. We thank you for all the gifts that came together for these renovations, for the arts and crafts of many hands, for the generous contributions of money and materials, for the countless hours of labor that demonstrated love and commitment. Please, Lord, we ask you to bless this work of our hands. We ask you to create here an environment of grace where people can meet you, where relationships of trust can be formed with you and with one another. Lord, may this place always offer welcome to diverse people, to many different kinds of people. May all who seek you here know your presence in their lives. By your grace and your will, may the gospel of Jesus Christ always be proclaimed truly here. And may your ordinances be administered rightly here, so that the body of Christ may be nurtured here and built up for the service of Christ in this world. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm now going to ask you to join me in a responsive reading. There's an insert in your programs. I believe the words may also be projected behind me. I will read the light print and you respond as a group in unison as we dedicate this place. Can I ask you to stand for this? Here we go. To the glory of God the Father, who called us by his grace, to the honor of his Son, who loved us and gave himself for us, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, who illumines and sanctifies us, we dedicate this house. For preparing God's people for works of service, for nurturing our children and our teens, for blessing our community,
we dedicate this house.
For the comfort of all who mourn, for strength for those who are tempted, for light to those who seek the way,
we dedicate this house.
For the hallowing of family life, for teaching and guiding the young, for the perfecting of the saints,
we dedicate this house.
For the conversion of sinners, for the promotion of righteousness, for the extension of the kingdom of God, in the unity of the faith, in the bond of Christian fellowship, in love and goodwill to all, we dedicate this house. Amen.
Amen. How great is our God. Amen. I want to just bring us back around to the dedication, the rededication in Israel. Now, why was it such a big deal? Why did God want them to do this? It's because of the future and what he wanted to do through them. That's why. And that's why he said several things to them. It was about hope and about the future. And as they're building and dedicating, he said, the glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, and in this place I will grant peace. He also told them, from this day on, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. From this day on, I will bless you. And that's why we wanted you to have that dedication statement on a bookmark to put in your Bible so that you remember this day, from this day forward, what we're going to do in the future. We're trusting God to bless us. We're trusting God that the glory in the future in this place will be greater than it has been in the past. We're trusting God for that and for his blessing on us as we continue to align ourselves with what he's doing in the world, redeeming lost people for himself. And we know that God is blessing us. We've seen his hand, and we are experiencing it now. And those of you who've been part of the church in the last 6 or 8 months, you know that we've been on a campaign to raise funds for the next phases, for the next things that God is going to do. And I want to let you know that God is kind of opening the floodgates, and he's blessing us richly. As of last Sunday, $92,459.62 has come in for the Pressing Forward campaign. Let's praise God for that again. That is only since November, so praise God. Thank you for your giving. God is at work. We're trusting him to bring his glory to this place, that he would be honored and glorified, that he would use us to reach people. You see, it begins right here in us. And that's where we started in the service of surrendering to God. And that's what I want to call you to now again. Just as we dedicated this building to God, just as we've renovated the building, maybe you feel like you need to do a little renovation in your heart. I know I do. I need God to make some changes there. And so he's asking us, I think, today to just offer ourselves to him and say, God, would you change me? Would you use me? Would you be glorified in me, in my life? And that's what I want to call you to do as we close our service, is just to worship him, to invite him to come into your heart and life, and to use you in mighty ways, and that he will be glorified through our church.